Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Two skunks are in a vegetable garden on a Sunday morning. They were just munching on vegetables. Suddenly, one skunk remembered it was Sunday, so he turned his back toward one row of specific vegetables, and he said to the other skunk, "Let us pray." Listen, one of you sent that to me. It's your fault. All right, our verse for this month. Would you stand up with me, please? Would you stand to your feet? And we're going to say our verse out loud, all right? This is our verse. We're saying it all month long. Can y'all say it with me? Is that all right? I know it's cold and snowy, and it's supposed to get very, very cold later on this month. Yeah, this week, right? Y'all be all right if we just wake up this morning and have some fun? Because I've got a message for you. I don't have a sermon for you. I've got a message for you. I worked on the sermon. The sermon stinks. The message from God is amazing. My sermon stinks. God's message to you this morning is amazing. I want you to pay attention to that. Can we do that? All right, good. Here we go. He answered their prayers because they trusted in him. One more time. He answered their prayers because they trusted in him. Father, I pray that today you would help us. You would help us to trust in you so that you would be able to answer our prayers and we would see your power at work in our lives, in our world. Amen. Amen. Why don't you high five somebody before you sit down, because they need a high five today. All right, we've been learning about prayer all this month. I wanted to preach a different message today. Just so you know, I had a whole different message planned. For months, I added on my list and everything was ready to go. And then I made this mistake. I read the Bible. And reading the Bible with an open heart, God did something really incredible. He talked to me. And he spoke to me about something I need to talk to you about today, whether we like it or not. So let me set it up from the scripture, how God talked to me. Y'all all right with that? All right, so remember a couple weeks ago, we're talking about prayer all this month, and on January 6th, we covered the Lord's Prayer. Anybody ever said the Lord's Prayer? Anybody in the room ever said the Lord's Prayer? Well, good, then you'll be good at it. Let's say it out loud together. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." Here we go. Y'all ready? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, a scribe later on, like the 4th century, added into the text, which the King James added in, and that's the reason there's a benediction in it. Do y'all know what the benediction says? "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, there's no problem. It was not in the original text. It was not written that way. But it is scripture from another part in the Bible that some scribe added in. That explains to you why it's in some scriptures and not in others. Y'all, yeah. Well, you need to come to what the Bible says about the Bible if you have questions after that. All right? So, this prayer is prayed, I'm going to say, billions if not trillions of times. Am I correct? We probably just prayed it 150 times right here, 170 times. We prayed it, and you've already admitted you prayed it. You probably prayed it several times in your life. And there are people that pray this prayer over and 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 over again. And the prayer, come on, has anybody ever said something so often it lost its meaning? Like, "I love pizza. I love roller coasters. I love a beautiful day. I love chocolate chip cookies. I love you." Do you notice how love is watered down because we overuse it? Am I correct? And do you know what Jesus said about this prayer, specifically about this prayer? You should read the context. Because what Jesus said specifically about this prayer, listen to this, verse 7, right before it, he said, "When you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So apparently Jesus did not give us this prayer for something for us to repeat like a mantra without meaning. He did not want us to be a people who repeat prayers without meaning. So when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you should actually slow down and think about what it is you're praying. Our Father. What does that mean? Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, yeah. What do we know about him? He's holy. You know, God has been doing a work in me, and I talked to our worship team this morning, and I said to them, I heard a quote the other day that perfectly put my attitude right now in perfect sort of phrase it in properly. The guy said, well, when I start talking about God, I'm like a kid that's on his tippy toes trying to look up to see over the shelf. I'm so excited to see. I'm on my tippy toes looking, trying to reach up to see something higher. And when I'm talking about God these days, I'm not talking about some aloof being stuck up in the heavens somewhere, but there's a God that I'm on my tippy toes reaching higher so maybe I can get in contact with the God of the universe who loves us, who is holy, who is awesome. This isn't just singing some songs to him. It's not holy, holy, God Almighty, the great. And come on, he is holy. He is the great. I am. Maybe we need to slow down and think about what we pray. And I've been getting stuck just on those lines. I haven't made it to the rest of the prayer recently because I've been thinking about who God is. Maybe it's time for us to do more than just simply say the same words the same way over and over again. And that's before the prayer. Then after the prayer, Jesus said something. That's going to be the focus, because what was happening is I was reading this text, and then I read the verses after, and they really spoke to me. Do you know what the verses immediately following the Lord's Prayer say? Let's look at them. Verse 14, immediately following, it says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Now, immediately following the Lord's Prayer, we prayed, forgive us our debts, or what we owe, as we forgive those that owe debts to us. And Jesus says, immediately following, he says, oh, if you don't forgive, then it doesn't do any good. So apparently there's something to this forgiveness aspect. Now, forgiveness is the Greek word aphemi, and aphemi, how I would say it is aphemi means get off of me. Because if you've ever, I was watching an MMA fight last night. That's how I roll. Anyway, I was watching an MMA fight, and this dude was a wrestler, and he pinned his guy, and he hit him with an elbow, and the guy started defending the wrong way, so then he was able to get him in a special lock and pin him, and as he's pinning him, he's choking him out, and the dude reaches up, and he does what? Come on, what does he do? Why was he doing that? What was he saying? I'm done. Get off of me. Get off of me. So what forgive means is literally, I get off of you. I let go. I stop pursuing. I let go. We're going to build a fence today, because today I want to talk to you about offenses. We're going to build a fence. So we're talking about offenses. So let me talk about some slats in this fence. The first slat is going to be a slat called slanderous words. Anybody ever said anything about you that wasn't true? It was slander. It was an attack. It was the slanderous words that maybe devastated you, or maybe it devastated your reputation. Second, they're selfish or self-centered actions. You know, you're with that person. They're just so selfish all the time. All they ever think about is themselves. They're selfish in all their actions and behaviors. And then you got those that stole from you. They maybe stole your money or stole your car or stole your time or stole your phone, or maybe they stole your boyfriend. I don't know. They stole something from you. And I don't know what that was. Oh, that was... Yeah. Good. And then there's the sly schemes. Do you know anybody that's a sly schemer? Come on. They're always putting a sly scheme together, and they're always trying. Everywhere you go, drama surrounds them. Yeah, anyway, a sly schemer. And then there's the spoken or shouted words of hate. You know, you're just like your mother. You're just like your dad. You'll never be anything. Who do you think you are? How about the sympathetic posturing? Sympathetic posturing. They pretend to like you all the while they're undermining you behind your back. On the job, somebody says the right words, and then They're just trying to take away from you. Then there's sexual dishonesty. Sexual dishonesty and perversions and abuse. Maybe they've left you damaged and you're hurt. And then there's the secret motives and the hidden lies, the things that are hidden that they will never tell you about. And then you find them one day. And when you find out, you're broken. And before long, do you know what you have? You've got a barrier. And we live with offenses, and fences are there to keep us from people. Wilson. You got to be old to know that reference, sorry. These offenses have built a fence between us and those we love. And those offenses, we think that they've only built a fence between us and others, but they haven't. They've built a fence literally between us and God. We'll get to that in a second, but let's start. I was driving down the road. I was in Cleveland. I'd been to the hospital to do a visit, and I was getting back on 480 Interbelt, or what is that? The Interbelt, the 90 Interbelt, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Coming off the Chester there, I went through my little curve, and I came around, and this woman was in this lane, and she saw me coming up, and she cut over in front of me to keep me from getting in. So I slowed down, got behind her, and then she scooted over in the middle lane. Well, I slowed down, got in the middle lane. I do what I do. I'm driving all the way through town, so I eventually got over in the left lane. As I'm driving past her, the woman flipped me off. I'm going to tell you something. What I wanted to do was whip over in front of her, brake check her, put her over in the ditch, and then just give her a good taste of what she's talking about right there. I was so mad. I drive for the next 20 minutes mad. I did nothing that I knew of. I did nothing except try to get on with my blinker on, and she didn't like I was going to get in front of her. I have no idea what happened in that moment, but she flipped me off, and I wanted to take that finger, break it. Anyway. The desire for revenge reveals the need for forgiveness. The desire for revenge, to get even, to get back, to break off that finger, to set them straight in the mirror in the morning, I'll show you, this is what I should have said, reveals the need for forgiveness. A lot of us live our lives not realizing that we really need to forgive. We live in an offendable culture right now. Everybody is offended all the time. So I want to give you, we're going to look through Luke 17, where Jesus teaches us about how to deal with offenses. And you might want to take notes, because I told you this message is good. The sermon, we'll see. Four steps for dealing with an offense. Number one, do not be an offender. You do not be the offender. Luke 17, 1 through 3 said, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. We think he's going to say, watch other people. He doesn't. He says, watch yourselves. We have to be honest that sometimes we are the offenders. Correct? Have you ever been the offender? Oh, the first part of dealing with offenses is to be honest about your own failures, because you do not position yourself in the need to give forgiveness until you realize how much you need to receive forgiveness. Can we admit that we're incredibly self-centered people? Sometimes we act like we're perfect and everybody else is horrible. But the truth is, we cause some of our own pain by being the offender. Am I allowed to get all up in our grill? Am I allowed to? Will y'all give me permission to use this illustration? All right, if you get offended at me, then you are the problem this morning. No, did you hear what I said? If you get offended at the use of this next illustration, just go ahead and admit, I'm the problem. Say it with me. I'm the problem. Okay, because I'm going to use an illustration straight out of this week. You see, I'm going to show you a picture. Look at this picture. Does anybody know this story? Yeah, this story is a big deal. It's out in the culture all over the place. Apparently, there was a group of black Israelites that were yelling at a group of boys that were there from a Catholic school to protest for right to life, right to life. So they were there for a parade, and they were there to say, we believe that a baby should be able to live in his mother's womb. That was their statement. That's why they were there. There were a group of high school boys. They're all together hanging out, and these black Israel supremacists come up to them and start telling them, your mother should have aborted you, and other words like that. So there's tension, there is anger, there is stress. Anybody ever seen a group of high school boys have somebody yell at them? What happens to them? High school boys' brains are not yet formed. So they act like idiots. One of them takes his shirt off and begins dancing, right? Anybody see this? Did you watch all of it, or did you just hear the 30 seconds of news clip that came across? So what happened was, there are these people screaming hate. There's these group of boys acting like teenage boys, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not going to support what they did or what they said, but what they are is a group of high school boys. And then this dude right here with the drum starts walking in the middle of them and starts going, hey, 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 pounding his drum, walking up to them. And the internet comes alive with this boy right here is racist because he's just standing there smiling at him. Now, hold on. I was talking to Carl. Carl, you're a high school principal, are you not? Are you been a principal for years? Middle school, high school, elementary? He said to me, I've learned one lesson over the years. You can never really tell what's in the mind of a junior high boy. I know what's in the mind of a junior high boy. Where are the girls? That's what's in his mind. But other than that, there might be another thought that goes through occasionally, like, where's the sports? But anyway, what we got right here is we got a picture of a story that somebody watched this much of, and we blow it up in the culture. And what was the cry about this boy right here? That he was what? He was racist. Because in America, we only have one tool in our toolbox, and if you only got a hammer in your toolbox, then everything looks like a nail. And I just want to say one thing to you. I'm going to say this, and I don't care if I get blasted on the internet, because I probably will. But listen to me. If you're always crying racist, maybe you ought to look in the mirror. If you're always crying about people offending you, you need to look in the mirror. Because we need to recognize that we are the offenders. I'm not justifying what anybody did in this day. I think all three parties were stupid. But then again, normally when I get in confrontations, I get stupid too, and so do you. So maybe we should give some grace rather than always being negative and critical and harsh and definitely making death threats on a bunch of junior high and senior high boys. By the way, in our culture, we like to be offended. You know why? Because being offended gives you a feeling of superiority over everybody else. Because you don't feel good about yourself, you have to be superior over everybody else. Could we just stop that? Could we actually be a people that recognizes that God's grace is the only thing that gives us any hope whatsoever? Amen. So if you're easily offended, you're probably the problem. It's time for us to learn to love and forgive, not just shout hatred and offense. So a couple weeks ago, I used the story of a bully that beat me up when I was a teenager, or when I was a kid in fifth and sixth grade. Anybody remember that story? And my brother came to the rescue. Anybody remember that story? Now, can I tell you the rest of the story? You know why the bully started beating me up? Because I slanderously told a lie about him, and it got back to him. I was in counseling about 10 years ago when I realized, dealing with the bully situation, that I was the one that actually started it. All these years, I wanted to be mad at somebody else when I realized I was actually the one at fault. That doesn't do any good. Come on, it could happen this week. My daughter had surgery on her shoulder, so she's got to sleep downstairs. Am I allowed to be honest with you guys? So she's sleeping downstairs. As she's sleeping downstairs, we have 750 square foot in our downstairs. That's not a lot, and it's an open floor plan, so you can hear everything that happens, right? So she's sleeping downstairs. The problem with that is our bedroom I'm sleeping in because my wife's sleeping downstairs with my daughter because she's got to get her eyes changed, needs her medication. She just got out of surgery. It's rough, blah, blah, blah. So I'm upstairs laying in bed, 5 o'clock, wide awake. I don't know why I'm wide awake at 5 o'clock, but I'm wide awake at 5 o'clock. And I know that every time I roll over on the bed or I flop or I get up or go to the bathroom, I do something, I know the floor squeaks and that's waking them up downstairs. Everybody understand this? So I decide I'm going to get up and go downstairs, make a cup of coffee, and go to the basement, just hang out, read my Bible, and pray for a bit and do some work. I come down the stairs. I go in to make coffee, being as quiet as I know how. My wife comes around the corner. Come on. She's not happy with me. You know why she's not happy with me? Because I'm waking everybody up making coffee, and she yells at me and says, "Why are you doing?" You know, as only a wonderful, beautiful, lovely, wonderful wife can do. And I get furious. No. I get mad. I throw my stuff in my backpack. I'll go to McDonald's. At least there I can make a little noise and get a cup of coffee. Nobody bug me. Anybody ever have any of these attitudes? Come on. So I go to McDonald's and I sit down. I'm reading my Bible. Like an idiot, I read my Bible because it's really, really hard to stay mad at people that shouldn't be mad at if you're actually trying to talk to God. God speaks to me and he says, "She's trying to do what's best, and you're trying to do what's best, and the two of you just had a disagreement. Why in the world are you being such a jerk?" So I sent her a text. "Sorry, I know you're trying to do it, blah, blah, blah." All right, come on. What happens when we build offenses? Here, let me give you a hug. No affirmation, no love, no relationship can go through the fence, can it? So what do we have to do? First of all, we realize that we are the offender. We're as much to blame as anybody else. Second thing we need to do, we need to forgive completely. Luke 17:3, I'm just going straight through the text here. "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them." Do what? Okay, I'll let go. Not yet. Who's hurt you so bad that you keep wanting to go back and choke them out even after they've asked for forgiveness? And then he says this, "Even if they sin against you 7 times a day and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must do what?" Come on. Can we just black this page out of our Bible? I don't like it. Notice this passage, forgiveness is repeated 7 times for the same offense. There's another passage that says we're to forgive 70 times 7. Jesus wasn't putting like 7 on it as a specific. He's saying, hey, listen, you are constantly to get rid of the offense rather than build the offense. And what he says is this, if they come and ask for forgiveness, there's a confrontation that goes along with real forgiveness. Did you know that? If you live with somebody, you don't, it's called, what's it called when you, codependency? When somebody goofs up and they continue to goof up and you cover for them without confronting them? And that's deadly. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about codependency here. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about you actually letting go of the sins that were committed against you and you not holding somebody accountable for what they cannot fix in the first place. So forgiveness is letting go of your desire for repayment. The word forgive literally means to let go of the debt. Forgiveness is not acting as if nothing happened. All right, so perfect example. Little kid grows up. His dad is always gone. Dad gets divorced from mom, cheats on mom, runs away, whatever. Dad doesn't show up in the kid's life. The kid grows up all through childhood, up into their teenage years, plays football, basketball. Dad's never around. At 27, 28, dad comes back into life, gets cancer, comes back and says, "Son, forgive me." Now, can that dad, even if he wants to, can he go back and attend those basketball and football games? Can he be there to tuck the kid in at night, even if he wants to? No. So forgiveness is not saying things didn't happen. It is not whitewashing. It's not that. It is simply saying that I will not hold a debt over your head for what you cannot repay. Because even though the father may want to repay those debts, he has no ability to do it no matter what he wants to do. So forgiveness is you saying, hey, God, I'm a screw up, and I have totally screwed up and done what is wrong in your sight, and you don't hold me anymore guilty of this sin. You have released me, so therefore I will release those who have done wrong to me. And by the way, I got really proud the other day thinking, you know, I'm a good man. I don't sin like I used to. 30 seconds later, I heard myself saying things. I'm like, what in the heck? Do you know we all are still in need of forgiveness? Be careful when you think you're so good that you don't ever do wrong, because you're going to find out pride goes before a fall. All right, third thing you need to do is use your faith. I love this. I love this. All right, use your faith. The very next verse, by the way, have y'all noticed I'm just actually reading the verses in line? Because they actually, all of this is talking about forgiveness. The very next line says, verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So you forgive people seven times a day. And they're like, eh, I ain't got enough faith to do that. I love the disciples. They're real. I increase my faith. We all think that's an increase of faith that has to do with our prayer, praying for miracles. No, the actual context and response is forgive people when they sin against you. Oh, increase my faith. I ain't got enough faith to do that. And then he says, Jesus' response was, you don't need your faith increased. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. Because here's the deal, you don't need more faith. You know what you need to do? You need to use your faith. We all want this verse, we made it about prayer and praying for mulberry trees to be thrown into the middle of the sea. That's not what it's about. It's about this. You have enough faith that when you're called upon by God to make a hard, hard call of forgiveness, you have what it takes already within you. You just need to put it to work. Did you know you have enough? I think you ought to say this with me, because I think some of you are getting sleepy. You ready? Say, I have enough. Hold on, I don't think you believed it, though. This time you need to say it and believe it. Why don't you say it? I have enough. Come on, say it with me. I have enough. Do you know God has given you everything you need? And I'm quoting scripture now. God has given you everything you need. God has given you what? Everything you need. Why are you always running around trying to get more? You need to quit running around trying to get more, and you need to start using what you've got. Isn't that what financial peace is all about? Isn't that what 2020 is all about? Quit trying to do something out there to make a big change or go to this or that or read this or that. Why don't you simply do what's in your hand? Take care of what's in front of you. You have enough faith to live, forgive, and to work, and to walk the way God called you to. You have enough. You just need to put it to action. Somebody ought to say amen. So the question is, will you use your faith? Here's a story for you. This connects. It's in Matthew chapter 13. It says in Matthew 13, Jesus went to some place and it says, they took what? They took what? They took offense at him. But he said to them, a prophet's not without honor except in his own hometown. And he did not do what? He didn't do miracles there. Because of their what? Hold on. I want to draw a one-to-one correlation here for you. I've showed you now in two different passages. Here's the one-to-one correlation. Lack of faith builds fences. Real faith tears them down. You see, you think your lack of faith, you think it's like keeping you from, I don't know, seeing a miracle, big miracle. I'm telling you, your lack of faith is keeping you from having relationships with the people you love the most. And I'm telling you that your lack of faith is keeping you from having a relationship with Jesus. Your lack of faith, you have enough faith. You're just not putting in action. You're not forgiving. You're not living. You're not serving. You're building offenses against God. You know the number one person I've had to forgive? Do you know who it is? It's not anybody in this world. It's God. I was raised in church. I'm a good, godly boy. I was raised to do all the right stuff. I did all the right stuff. I went to Bible college. I prayed the right prayers. I did the right things. I said the right things. I tried after I got saved. I tried. I threw away all my Christian rock music. What was I thinking? Come on, I only listened to Sandy Patty worship Jesus until she had an affair. But anyway, by the way, Petra, none of them ever had affairs, but that's, oh, sorry. They were sinners. Anyway, come on. Y'all with me here? Hang on for a second. I did all the right stuff. I did all the right things. I never got the joy and awesomeness I was expecting. So you know who I was mad at? God. I did all the right stuff, and you didn't do jack for me. Really? 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 Maybe none of you deal with that. Maybe you're those pie in the sky, wonderful people. You wake up and it's always rosy. Oh, look at all the snow. Isn't it beautiful today? I hate people like you. I'm not that person. I struggle every day. And you know what? What I had to do is I had to realize that I was offended at God for not giving me what I thought I wanted because he was too busy giving me what I really needed. And I was offended at him, and I had to forgive him when I realized, you know what forgiveness is? Let's go to the next one. Can we move on? Do your duty. Fourth part of this getting rid of offenses, do your duty. So you don't feel like it? Do it anyway. You don't feel like it? Do it anyway. You don't feel like it? Come on. Do it anyway. You don't believe me? Let's look at the text. Reading once again in line. Do y'all notice I'm just reading from the text. All right. Suppose one of you has a servant plow or looking. See, what we want to do is we want to divide these stories and make them non-connected, but they are all connected to the same story. Look at this. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after a sheep. Will he say to his servant when he comes in from the field, come along now, sit down and eat. All right, so get this, slave in the field doing his job. Comes home, master, not slave, master, been sitting on his butt all day. Slave, been working all day, comes home. Master says, well, what does the master not say? Master doesn't say, oh, sit down, I'll feed you. What does the master say? He says, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. And then after that, you may eat and drink. That's not fair. Right? Anybody ever said those words to God? It's not fair. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? And then Jesus makes the application. He says this, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, I'm only a slave. I just did my duty. If you don't feel like forgiving, do it anyway. If you don't feel like thickening your skin, do it anyway. If you don't feel like doing 20-20-20, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. How do you grow? We all want to be disciples of Jesus. How do you grow as a disciple of Jesus? You need discipline. Nobody wants, by the way, disciple, discipline, you got it? Same word? So what we want to do is, I don't feel like forgiving them. And Jesus said, I didn't feel like forgiving them either. I didn't feel like forgiving you because you nailed me to a cross out of your offenses, and this is what you did to me. Your offenses killed me, and now you're going to sit here and tell me I don't feel like it? Who do you think you are to say no to your master? When your master loves you and has a plan for you. Who are you to say no to your master? It's your duty. Do it. Do it. He did it for you. And by the way, every one of those forgivenesses, every one of those paths you open up, it opens up freedom to step through and restore a relationship. There's somebody you need to forgive today. I don't care what they've done to you. Forgive them. I'm not saying be codependent with them. I'm not saying forget. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying this is Jesus took your sins, and you desperately need his grace. You need to pass that forgiveness on to someone else. I want to show you a picture of a police officer. His name is Stephen McDonald. He was a young police officer in Central Park. He was shot by a teenager, and it left him paralyzed. And he said, the only thing worse than receiving a bullet in my spine would have been to nurture revenge, unforgiveness in my heart. You see, what we do with unforgiveness is we're drinking poison, wishing somebody else would die. And Jesus understands that the only way to truly get forgiveness and freedom for your sins is to grant forgiveness and freedom for those who have sinned against you. It is time for us to lay it down. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning, and I want to ask you a question. First of all, you have sinned against God. I told you guys 1,000 times over, the bar is really low at this church. Your sinner's the pastor's the biggest sinner in the place. But if you're in this room and you have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ, you have not asked him for forgiveness, you haven't done it before, today would be your first time for you to say, Jesus, forgive me. If that's you, and you need to ask for forgiveness today, this is your first time, you're just saying, forgive me, and that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Jesus offers you forgiveness through the cross right now. That's you. Raise your hand. Yes, are there others? Yes. Anybody else? Jesus offers you forgiveness right now through the cross. That act of faith, he has heard, he has responded, he has granted it in the name of Jesus. Now you're sitting in this room today and you're playing in your mind somebody you need to forgive. It's there. It's real. Maybe it's a raw wound and you need to forgive them. Jesus has forgiven you. Will you forgive them? Right now, around this room, I want you to lift your hand as an act of faith. Do it as an act of faith. If you need to forgive them, do it. Right now, raise your hand. Come on. Yes, all around this room. Leave them up. Leave them up. Act of faith. This is rough stuff. Come on. Some of you have been needing to do this for 20 years. Maybe it's God you need to forgive. That's okay, too. Just leave your hand up. Come on. We're going to pray. We're going to pray together. Jesus, we let go. We no longer control. I forgive. Say it with me. I forgive. I let go. I let it go right now. I don't feel like it. I don't even believe I'm doing it, but as an act of faith, I'm trying, okay? God, I'm trying as an act of faith. I say the words, I forgive. Now help me to put this faith to work. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have other stories. I'll just let them go because my time's up. We have these things right here with a little top on them. And I am asking you this year, will you take the next step of following Jesus? Will you take the next step? We're going to do this old-fashioned, all right? We're going to pretend we're in Africa. Anybody ever been to Africa? You know what they do in Africa at church? They stand up out of their pews and they play a song. Can we get the band to play this? Come on, guys. There's a second verse. Can you go straight to the second verse? Second verse? Good. We're going to sing a song. So everybody stand up with me. Come on. Let's do this. I'm excited. You know why? Because if we will step into this, I believe God's going to do things that'll blow your mind this year. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Take that top off. If you've committed, I'm going to pray for these 20 things. I'm going to give $20 a week. I'm going to read the New Testament through this year by reading 20 minutes a week. 20 minutes a week. If that's you, bare minimum, low, bar low. Maybe you're already tithing. You want to add 20 on top of it? Write that. You know, I don't care what you do. This is between me and you and God. I'm going to put you on an email list or a text list or something. And couple of times this year. I'm going to check back up with you, all right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that top, tear it off, and we're going to sing this song. As we sing this song, I want you to bring that to the front and put it in one of these baskets. Y'all got it? Three of you got it. Man. All right, here we go. Sing second verse and let's do this.